Well, today I want to share a story with you, which when, I guess a couple of months ago now, it's sort of been sitting in me for a while. And I've just been sort of getting levels and levels of revelation on it, and I want to share it with you today. So it is the story of Gideon. And I personally love taking scripture and pulling it apart, letting my imagination fill in the blanks of like what I would think would have happened in that time period and just really make the story come alive. So I want to do that with you guys today. So Gideon is pretty famous for being a military leader and for having his 300 men and that whole side of the story. I want to look at the beginning part of the story where the angel of the Lord first shows up to him. It's at this point where he has this dialogue with God, and I think it's pretty amazing. So we're going to start by setting the scene of what's happening. So if you have your Bibles or your phone with the Bible app on it, I want you to turn to Judges 6. So, Judges 6, and we're going to start in verse 3. So, this sort of outlines exactly what's going on. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts, both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So here we have a pretty derelict scene where Gideon shows up. So we've got Israel, and they are, quote, greatly impoverished. Anytime that they have any sort of sustenance or anything, they have all these enemies that are around them who come in and basically destroy everything that they try to create. So you can imagine if you had something, if you had grain, if you had water, if you had any sort of food, you would be trying to hide it, because if you didn't, it was going to get taken away from you. So this is like the scene, the opening scene. The scene of this story is one of great oppression, lack, and basically hiding to survive. The Israelites were in a time of lack, and whatever little they did have was taken from them. So now in steps Gideon. And so we're going to see Judges 6 and look at verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizmite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So remember, if you had any food, you wanted to hide it, because if you didn't, it was probably going to get taken away from you. I love this fact that he's got grain and he's not in like some barn trying to thresh it. He's in an inconspicuous place, a winepress, with grain. So he's in the wrong place trying to do something. I like picking apart stories, and just so imagine this. You're Gideon, you got some grain, and you want to try and hide it before someone else finds it. So instead of going to a barn, you go to a wine press. Basically a big sort of hole where they would like crush all the grapes, and you're down in there threshing grain. So it's in this scene, in verse 12, that it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" It's a fascinating statement for the angel of the Lord to say. It seemed polar opposite to the reality. Sometimes when we first hear God's word to us, it clashes greatly with what our reality looks like. That's okay. And I've learned this personally, to be okay when I hear a word from God, when something in the Bible like pops up at me, and I know that that is different to the reality of what I'm experiencing. So be okay with words, declarations, prophetic words, whatever, his revelation to your heart that seems to clash with the very thing that you're experiencing. Be okay with contrast. The angel of the Lord came to Gideon, and everything about the state that he was in was anything but, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And I would encourage you, if you are receiving words from God which seem to clash with your current reality, do not let them go. Do not disown them or distance yourself from those words, but hold them close. Don't let them go, because they are going to come to pass. In a moment when Gideon needed courage, God called it out of him and used it to describe him. Man of valor. And now for Gideon's response. I love this. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." I love how real Gideon is with the angel of the Lord here. So again, use your imagination. Imagine this. You're in the wine press, you've got some grain. You're trying to hide it because if you don't, it's going to get stolen from you. And an angel of the Lord appears to you and calls out to you and says, "You mighty man of valor," or "You mighty woman of valor." And your response is all of these questions and accusations, all of this. And that shocks me, because a lot of the time, if you read through the Bible, people's response to an angel of the Lord showing up, having a vision of him or whatever, is they're on their faces. They like cry out the realization that, oh my gosh, this is God. God is visiting me. And they fall on their faces, they cry out, they say holy, or other responses. Usually not a list of accusations or questions. But this is what Gideon does. And I love that he was so, so real with the Lord. He could have done anything. He could have fallen on his face in awe. And there's plenty of stories in the Bible about that being their response. But instead, Gideon has a very honest and very real conversation with God. And one of the key things that I want you to get out of this story is to be real with God. When was the last time you had a real heart-to-heart, exploring what's going on in your internal world with God, where you do what Gideon did in those verses, where he says, Why did this happen? Where were you when this was going on? And there's that real heart-to-heart roar. This is my heart. This is my internal world. What's going on, God? I would encourage you, if you haven't before, to have a real, raw conversation with God. For me, I'm very much an internal processor rather than an external processor. So my mind can be going a million miles an hour, and I'm having these conversations with God in my head. And it's racing, going through all these different things. And sometimes they're not all full of faith and power, the conversations that are going on in my head, but they're very real and they're very raw. And God loves that. He loves that. Sit with God in your questions. It can be uncomfortable, but Him meeting you in that unknown place is the best feeling in the world. So when my mind's like going a million miles an hour and I've got so many questions and conversations going on with God in my head, one of the tools that I find is to use a journal. And if you haven't done this before, I would encourage you. Use a journal, I use my phone, and I just type or write or whatever works best for you. And I'm just really real, really raw with God, and I'm doing what Gideon did, which is, look at this. Gideon uses the word forsaken. He uses so many words, accusations, why did this happen, blah, blah, blah. And so I do that with God, and I'm writing, and I'm like, okay, God, this is what's going on in my internal world right now. This is what I'm experiencing externally, and I just type, and I type. And then there's this moment where, and I love these moments, they're a but God moment. And I do this in my journaling, where I stop and I say, but God. And it switches. It switches from me internally trying to figure stuff out and being real and raw with God, and it becomes Him saying His words over me. And it's so beautiful to watch the shift that happens from me putting down on paper, typing out words, and it switches to the but God moment, and then my perspective changes, and it's beautiful. And then as I type, He takes over. And when I look back at what I've written, it's His words speaking out to me. And if you haven't done that before, I would highly, highly recommend you do it. Ask God the questions simmering in your heart. He is the best listener and knows what our hearts need to hear. Gideon was very real about what he thought about God. And my challenge to you is, are you that real with God? Could you have that encounter with the angel of the Lord where you are in this place of lack, in this place where you're feeling attacked or whatever it is? Where you feel like you're in the wrong place, you've got the grain and you're in a wine press instead, and the angel of the Lord shows up. Could you have that real conversation with God? Could you do it? Courage with ourselves and God is key to showing up in courage to the world around us. I think this is one of the reasons why God could call Gideon a man of valor, a man of courage, is because He recognized the courage that was inside of him to be courageous with himself. And it was this foundation that enabled Gideon to then become a leader of armies and to defeat the enemy. It's because he started with courage with himself, which was then courage with God in his conversations. So are you that real with God? Do you have that courage to be real with yourself? And then the courage to be that real with God. Gideon didn't back away in fear when the angel of the Lord showed up. In fact, he did the opposite and began firing questions. This is courage, when you are real with yourself and real with God. It was this courage and dialogue with God that was the foundation for when the courage to be a leader was required. Because everyone knows Gideon, who defeated the army with the 300 amazing warriors and the encampment and the torches and pottery that they broke and stuff. And it was like this amazing moment. But to focus on the conversation that God had with Gideon first, that was the start of courage. That was the start of courage, when he was real with himself and real with God. The strength on the inside of you wants to be shown on the outside, but it starts on the inside first. This verse here is my favorite part of the whole story of Gideon. And it's the smallest sentences in the Bible that can undo you sometimes. Judges 6:14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So after Gideon's done all his questioning and accusations and shown courage with himself and with God, these few words are what get me. Then the Lord turned to him. After all Gideon's questions, accusations, and feelings of fear and doubt, the Lord didn't turn away from Gideon or say, I'm out of here, or, well, that was a bit too much, or, okay, have you done that now? Instead, the Lord turned to Gideon. God never shies away from us being real with him. I want you to imagine this part of the story. You can close your eyes if you want. I want you to imagine Gideon. And he's said all those things. He's asked all those questions. He's made all those accusations. He's been on the rant of what God has done and hasn't done. And then I want you to picture God turning and fully facing Gideon straight on as he absorbs fully the complexity of Gideon's internal world and all the questions he has. And God loves to do this with us. Whenever you have any question for him, he doesn't shy away. He doesn't say, well, that was too far, or you shouldn't have said that to me, or how can you even think that? No. God fully turns face to face and looks at us eye to eye, heart to heart, and takes in the complexity of every part of us. And I love that this story is in the Old Testament. This is before grace and Jesus. And yet still the heart of our Heavenly Father is shown in that when you ask questions, he turns towards you. That when you are at your most real and most raw, God turns fully towards you and says, I'm listening, I'm here, I can take any question you have. Any question. Psalm 139, which is one of my favorite passages of scripture. This is the Passion Translation, which I love. And it reads Psalm 139, verse 1 through to 4. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. I love, love this translation. I could just feast on those four verses over and over and over again. The part that I really like is you perceive every movement of my heart and soul. So every flutter, every pivot, every little nuance of my heart and emotions that moves through life as things happen in our world, God perceives it. He knows what's going on. Our heart can feel so many emotions, and yet God perceives them all. Our hearts are not a mystery to him. He's not trying to figure out what you mean or think. He knows. He really knows. That's so comforting to me. I can come to him and say, I don't know what's going on in my heart right now, Lord, but you know. You know exactly what my heart is experiencing. And I ask that you speak the words that my heart needs to hear right now. Because sometimes I can't figure out what's going on in my heart, but he does. He gets my complexities. He gets it all. And he knows exactly what our hearts need. So back to the full verse. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? God is calling out the courage that he sees in Gideon. The courage that showed realness with God is the courage that is going to grow to defeat an entire army. Maybe you're like Gideon, and you're looking at the big picture. Leadership position at work, or needing to step up in your family, or any situation that requires courage, courage to go for that new job, whatever it is, and you're seeing this big thing that needs courage from you. Start with the courage with yourself. Start with courage with yourself and with God. Build that courage. And then from that place will come the courage to change your world. The next point I want to make is that God is patient with our offering. This is, I think, the funniest part of the story. So we've had the dialogue, Gideon's asked all the questions, the Lord's turned and said, go in this might of yours. And now Gideon has a brainwave and decides that he wants to give the angel of the Lord an offering, which is awesome. It's great. Do you know what the offering is? It's a goat, unleavened bread, and a broth. Now, I'm not a butcher, but I'm probably sure that it would take a while to prepare a goat. And I haven't made unleavened bread, but I'm pretty sure that takes a while as well. And a broth as well. So you've got three things that Gideon decides that he's going to make. And it says, I'm just going to look it up, verse 17. Then he, Gideon, said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, Then show me a sign that it is you who talks with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he, the angel of the Lord, said, I will wait until you come back. Don't know how long that was. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat, and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket. Presentation is very important. And he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him underneath the terebinth tree and presented them. That's a heck of a lot of work. I'm just saying. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. The angel of the Lord patiently waited for Gideon to present his very best. And I think we do this with ourselves as well. We spend weeks, months, years trying to prepare ourselves for something. And in a very moment, what we present and give to God, he comes and lands on it. And I just love those moments because it was consumed. All the effort that he'd put in, that goat, the bread, the broth, and the angel of the Lord put his staff up and it just gone. And God rested on all that Gideon had done. And I love that God was patiently waiting for us to present him with our best. What we take months or even years to perfect, or an entire lifetime, God can come upon in an instant. Know that God rests on your offering, the offering of yourself. Romans 12:1 describes us as becoming living sacrifices. That instead of us doing in the Old Testament all the goats and all the offerings that was required, we're the offering now. And God patiently waits, and then he comes and rests on us. Verse 22 through to 24. After all the food and all the offering that he had prepared had been consumed, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. I love this. After the entire conversation between the Lord and Gideon, making the offering, presenting it, and then it being consumed, Gideon makes an altar to the Lord to remember this whole encounter and calls it, the Lord is peace. Altars in the Old Testament were built usually out of like lots of stones, and they were built to remember significant events that happened. So if you had an encounter with God, after it you would make an altar, and it would be there to remind other people, because they would see the pile of stones and they'd go, something significant happened here. And so Gideon does the same after this encounter with the angel of the Lord. He builds an altar. And the altars were named. And so this one, of all things that Gideon could have chosen to call this significant encounter with God, he calls it, the Lord is peace. Which I find fascinating, because when I look at the story, That's not the name that I would choose to describe that encounter. I wouldn't call it the Lord is peace. I would call it the Lord who shows up. I don't know, the Lord gives me strength. The Lord hears my cry. The Lord finds me in the dark places. I don't know, there'd be so many other names that I would call this moment with God. The Lord is near. I mean, there's endless, and I'm sure you guys could come up with some other names which would seem to more accurately reflect the encounter that Gideon had. But instead he calls it, the Lord is peace. And I love that the defining mark of this story and the aspect that Gideon decides to focus on and be a way of remembering is to call the altar, the Lord is peace. I've had so many moments where I've stepped out with courage, courage with myself, courage with God, courage with others. And you know the thing that rests on me when I'm stepping out in courage? Peace. Peace. When I've stepped out in faith, showed courage in different situations, even with all the questions going on, in that moment, his atmosphere around me and in me is one of so much peace. And I've also found that God's peace is the quickest way to quieten all the questions in my heart. It really is. If you've got questions with God and you're like writing them down or typing them in your phone, and you sit and you're waiting for that but God moment, sometimes, more often or not, what you will experience is the weightiness of his peace in the midst of all those questions. And I think that's why Gideon chose to call this moment, this encounter, the Lord is peace. Even when I don't have the answers, and I'm still asking the whys, the whens, and the hows, like Gideon was, it is God's peace that settles on me. And I would encourage you that if you're having your Gideon moment, where you're being courageous with yourself, courageous with God, and you are asking those questions, don't leave that place until you have built an altar and can declare, the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. Build that altar. Remember that moment. Remember all those questions and sit in it and let God's peace just come and silence all those questions and bring confidence and strength back to your heart. So we're going to end in a few minutes, and I just want to take the last couple of minutes to describe some different groups of people that I would like to pray or have the Holy Spirit minister to you. The first group is this. You know that you need to have some courageous conversations with yourself and with God. Maybe you've never done it before. Maybe you've never asked God some questions. But I would really encourage you, if you haven't, it is the best feeling in the world to hear his response back to you. If you have a desire to have those real and raw conversations with God, I can feel Papa God extending that invitation to you. He already knows all the swirling emotions and thoughts going on in your heart. It's not a surprise to him. And when I was praying for this meeting, I got a picture of a dam. And I feel like this picture specifically relates to this group of people who are wanting to have those courageous conversations with yourself and with God. And I saw that Each question and each conversation with God was like a stone in this dam. And with each conversation, you were pulling out a stone from this dam wall. And that each conversation, each question was unlocking a part of the dam, and eventually it was going to break. Eventually all that water that was being held up was going to be let out. And I feel to encourage people, if you're in this group of people that are wanting those courageous conversations with yourself and with God, to encourage you that there will be a flow. There will be a rush of courage as you just start engaging with Papa God and start asking those questions. And the other thing I want to encourage you in is don't disown your conversations with God. So when I have like my journal and I'm writing, or I'm having this internal dialogue with God in my head, it's so easy for me to just push that conversation and go, nah, nah. Don't disown those conversations. They're precious. They're really precious. And each conversation is that pebble that's going to break that dam. And you are going to experience that rush, that full power, full courage of that water breaking. The second group of people that I'd like to pray for are those who want to experience the turning of the Lord towards you. So you've had those conversations with God, but you need to experience the turning of Papa God to fully face you. You need to sit and imagine, like Gideon, saying all the questions and then feeling the full attention, the full heart of love of God turning towards you and looking at you. The third group, waiting for God to land on your offering. You've been doing offering God yourself, and you're like, okay, I'm waiting for that moment where the angel of the Lord comes and touches everything that I've been doing, whether it's your whole life, your week, your month, your year, and you're like, here is my life, here is everything that I've been doing, God, and I need you to come in an instant and change what has been taking me a decade or a lifetime. And you're looking for God to land on that offering. And then the last group are those who want to build an altar of peace. They want to build that memorial stone and remember, the Lord is my peace. And basically, you just need to sit, even if it's uncomfortable, sitting in the questions and just experience the peace of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words that have been shared this morning. I thank you that you love our hearts so much. You love the real and the raw conversations that we have with you. And I pray that going into this week, that people would have those real and raw conversations with you, and that they would feel the turning of your face towards them. That you're the God that never shies away, but you're the God that comes close. Close when we are real, close when we are real with ourselves and real with you. And I pray that this day, this week, would be marked by peace. That this week people would have these significant encounters with you, that they would build altars, these memorial stones, these moments that they remember that are marked by your peace. Thank you, Father.